These are the letters. This from Brian Mallison of Visalia, California, who is referencing the article Bringing the Good News in March 2020. He quotes from the article, "Advocate a prophetic diaconia that commits itself to risk-taking and innovative service on the frontiers of the church's outreach, giving particular attention to the suffering places in God's world." Sounds obtuse to me. It seems to me in our desire to become like other irrelevant church structures, we've added an additional level of bureaucracy into a denomination that used to pride itself in the priesthood of all believers. Now we ordain deacons. What's next, ordaining elders? I have nothing but respect for people who serve in marginalized areas of the world, who advance their education by taking theological courses. I wish more would, but I fear we take a step backward in our desire to be a church of the 21st century, not the 15th century. This from Barbara Reed of Seattle, Washington. Having worked for 5 years in a health-oriented international nonprofit organization, I was thrilled to read, I heard it on the radio, reproductive health is a central issue for developing countries. HIV and AIDS kill thousands of women, men, and babies, and in many regions, dangerous commonly believed myths about HIV transmission contribute to the spread of this deadly disease. Access to accurate information is limited by many factors. 10 years ago, I made a lifetime decision to affiliate with the Lutheran Church. The ELCA's support of Sakir Asath's radio programs that deliver truth to young people in Nepal makes me deeply proud of my religious community. This from Carla Christopher. This is why I am a member of the ELCA. This is the kind of faith story that inspires, enlightens, and educates me. She is talking about A Hero Rises in the March issue. So grateful to this family and to Living Lutheran for the witness. Denise Vanzago writes, "In 1967, I graduated North High School at the eastern edge of Omaha's Fontanelle neighborhood. A survey of our senior pictures shows that our class was 15% African American. I can't comprehend why our denomination is at the bottom of the ladder where diversity is concerned. I've worked with several Lutheran women of color in Los Angeles, where I have lived for over 30 years, and I applaud Angela Kebeb and all-powerful Lutheran women impatiently waiting for the day when our churches reflect our neighborhoods." This from Rachel Simonson of Billings, Montana. "I applaud your efforts to enlighten and disturb readers with respect to the issue of white privilege. Equally, I'm dismayed and disheartened when I read letters from readers who take offense at the notion of white privilege. As a cradle Lutheran of the Upper Midwest Scandinavian variety, I fully recognize that my daily existence in America is exponentially easier than for people of color. My ancestors came to this country long after the Civil War and the abolition of slavery. I'm only a third-generation American. Even so, they were all privileged in their whiteness, as I am. Just because my family never directly participated in the enslavement of others doesn't mean I'm not the recipient of the society built on that enslavement. It is a reality that even today, a white person with a crummy credit rating is likely to have an easier time applying for a home mortgage than a black person with a stellar credit rating and down payment cash in hand. There is no facet of American society where evidence of this type of disparity, injustice, and inequality doesn't exist. How do white privilege deniers explain that? Their denial breaks my heart. Please keep up the work that Christ demands of us to love and serve our neighbors as we would want to be loved and served."